I'm Aaron Joe about Fillmore Street. This is Spielpot.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from beautiful San Francisco. We had a bit of a glitch last week, as you may have noticed. So this is a double session, first last week, then a song, then today. So if you want to skip ahead, feel free to do that. Otherwise, last week it was the 7th of May, so on that date in 1664, Louis the 14th of France begins construction of the Palace of Versailles. 1718, the city of New Orleans was founded by Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne de Bienville. 1763, Pontiac's War begins with his attempt to seize Fort Detroit from the British. 1824, world premiere of Ludwig von Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in Vienna. 1915, German submarines sink the Lusitania. 1920, Russia recognizes the independence of the Democratic Republic of Georgia in the Treaty of Moscow. P.S. They invaded the country 6 months later. 1945, Germany surrenders unconditionally to the Allies at Rien. 1954, French defeated at Dien Bien Phu. 1960, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev announces that his nation is holding American U-2 pilot Gary Powers. And on that same day, Brezhnev becomes president of the USSR. 1994, Norway's most famous painting, The Scream, is recovered after 3 months from having been stolen. 1998, Mercedes-Benz buys Chrysler for $40 billion U.S. dollars and forms Daimler-Chrysler, the largest industrial merger in history. 1999, Pope John Paul II travels to Romania, becoming the first pope to visit a predominantly Orthodox Christian country since the Great Schism of 1054. 2000, Vladimir Putin is inaugurated as president of Russia. Birthdays today are Scottish smart guy David Hume, poet Robert Browning, composer Tchaikovsky, Balkan keep it together guy Tito, actor Gary Cooper, and children's writer Michael Rosen. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. Thanks again for those posting on the forum. If you'd like to comment, ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Following up on cabinet changes on the 1st of May, Prime Minister Khadabashvili named members of Parliament Tiniko Khidasheli as the new defense minister, replacing Mindia Janelidze. Member of Parliament Gigla Agulashvili, who is chairman of the Parliamentary Committee for Agriculture, was named as a minister of environment. Both Khidasheli and Agulashvili are members of the Republican Party. Tariel Khachashvili, who is a co-owner of one of Georgia's largest car sellers, Iberia Business Group, was named as the minister of sport. Tiniko Khidasheli will be Georgia's first ever female defense minister. She is a chairperson of the Parliamentary Committee on European Integration and the wife of Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzubashvili. She was elected to Parliament as a majoritarian from Sagarejo single mandate constituency in Kakheti. Her appointment as defense minister will mean that there will be a by-election in October in Sagarejo constituency to fill her seat in Parliament. If the proposed cabinet is confirmed, it will also mean that the reshuffle of government will have three ministers from the Republican Party, along with Khidasheli and Agulashvili. There is an incumbent state minister of Reconciliation and Civic Equality. When announcing Khidasheli's appointment as defense minister, Prime Minister Khadabashvili did not explain why they are replacing Janelidze, I guess because it needed no explanation, who took the post in November 2014 after Irakli Alassania was sacked. He said that Janelidze will return to his previous post as Secretary of the Security and Crisis Management Council in the Prime Minister's office. President Mark Velashvili commented that the frequent changes of the defense minister and changing another cabinet member left an impression that the government operates in a force majeure mode. He said he will use his entire 7-day deadline, that is until the 8th of May, before sending a reshuffled cabinet for confirmation to Parliament for confirmation. Yeah. Under the Constitution, the president can change or block cabinet nominations, but he does have 7 days to put his signature on the list of cabinet members. Mark Velashvili was criticized for delaying the process by 7 days, but then he did submit the cabinet for confirmation earlier than he said he would on the 6th. So the parliament will vote on the reshuffled cabinet special session on Friday the 8th of May at 1 p.m., The three new ministers started at work on Monday morning, the 4th of May, even though they haven't been approved by Parliament yet. Defense Minister Khidasheli met with the Chief of the General Staff of the Armed Forces, General Vakhtang Kapanadze. Prime Minister Khadabashvili did not introduce any of the new ministers to their staff, arguing that they don't need the confidence vote from Parliament to function. They're already appointed. Constitutional experts don't agree and stress the Parliament first has to approve the government before new ministers can start their duties. As a note, Defense Minister Khidasheli still has her members of parliament credentials, which is against the law. Parliament is expected to start procedures for revoking her MP credentials in the near future, according to Parliamentary Committee for Procedures. Government hired a new lobbying firm, Pillsbury Winthrop Shaw Pittman, to get advice and assistance on U.S.-Georgia bilateral relations and for communicating with U.S. administration officials and congressional Congress members. Under the one-year contract, which began on the 1st of April, the government will pay Pillsbury $50,000 per month. The firm submitted the information in late April to the U.S. Department of Justice under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. The scope of service will also include providing assistance to the Georgian government in securing demonstrations of support for Georgia from U.S. administration officials and Congress members in communicating developments in Georgia related to the rule of law reform, and I quote, drafting press releases, op-eds, letters, and speeches, developing a media strategy, developing a study tour program for international journalists to visit Georgia. Great, you know, those junkets. Meet with government officials and see the government progress firsthand. Previously, the government was using the service of law and lobbying firm Squire Patton Boggs. The company received about $1.3 million from the Georgian government between the beginning of 2013 to mid-2014, according to a semi-annual report filed under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. According to the new contract, Pillsbury will hire the Harbor Group, spelled with British spelling, a Washington-based public affairs and communications consultancy, as a subcontractor to provide additional media services to the Georgian government. The same public affairs consultancy was a subcontractor, bizarrely, to Patton Boggs on its Georgia's operations. On the 4th of May, the foreign minister summoned Armenia's ambassador in Tbilisi to express its extreme concern over the meeting between the Speaker of Armenian Parliament, Galust Sakayan, and the chairman of Parliament of South Ossetia, Anatol Bibilov. The meeting was in Nagorno-Karabakh. News about the meeting was first reported by a press office of South Ossetian's parliament, saying that Bibilov was in Karabakh to observe parliamentary elections for the 3rd of May. It said Bibilov was there on the invitation of the Speaker of the Armenian Parliament, but this was later retracted. A spokesperson from the Armenian Parliament confirmed with Armin Press that the meeting took place, but said that the meeting was of a purely private nature. Similar remarks were made by a spokesperson of the Armenian embassy in Tbilisi. In the meeting with the Armenian ambassador, Yuri Vardanyan, Georgia's deputy foreign minister, communicated that Armenia having relations with the breakaway region runs counter to the spirit of traditionally friendly relations between Georgia and Armenia. The exchange prompted a phone conversation between Prime Minister Kharabashvili and his Armenian counterpart, Hovig Abramyan. The Armenian side insisted that Bibilov was in Nagorno-Karabakh on a non-working day for a private visit. No official issues were discussed amidst all the wavering, according to the Prime Minister's office. Quote, Abramyan reiterates unwavering support towards Georgia's territorial integrity and sovereignty and emphasized Armenia's good neighborly and friendly stance towards Georgia, end quote. Yeah. Information emerged the next day on the 5th of May that the parliamentary leader of the ruling Republican Party of Armenia also took part in the meeting with Bibilov. According to Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Armenia service, the parliamentary leader repeated that it was a private meeting that Bibilov requested in order to express condolences in connection with the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide. Bidzina Ivanishvili again criticized the president and certain NGOs on his talk show 2030 on Sunday evening, the 3rd of May. He commented on President Margvelashvili's refusal to immediately sign the list of candidates for the new government and said the president is colliding with his own political bloc. BI again criticized a handful of NGOs that their profession is circulating lies and that they are serving the interests of the UNM. And he blamed the National Bank for not preventing a drop in the lari, which, as previously discussed, is dangerous and stupid for him to be saying. Let us pray for a good head of the National Bank when Kadagidze's term is up. Interior Minister Vahran Gomaraouri was in Berlin this week to meet his German counterpart, Thomas de Maizière, and the Foreign Minister Tamriko Javakashvili also visited Berlin, where she met German counterpart Steinmeier. During the visit, they announced that there will be a Georgia-Germany Friendship Year 2017, where each country will host cultural events. Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani met with the French Interior Minister and other officials in Paris on the 5th of May. She also met with the French State Minister for State Reform and discussed future cooperation in developing electronic governance. And the State Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, David Bakradze, met the Spanish Foreign Minister in Madrid on the 5th of May. In all the foreign visits, discussions focused on the upcoming Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga from the 12th to the 22nd of May. There is a perception among the government that it is Germany, France, and Spain that are the problem in terms of getting visa-free travel, and that it's a political problem rather than the government not having done a few things. Anne Breslau, the president of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, or PACE, is visiting Georgia from the 7th to the 8th of May. She's meeting with the president, prime minister, parliamentary speaker, and the Supreme Court chairperson. Will also visit a village on the ABL in South Ossetia, as well as a parliament in Kutaisi. U.S. military equipment involving 14 Bradley infantry fighting vehicles, several wheeled support vehicles, arrived in Batumi on the 5th of May aboard a cargo ferry from the Bulgarian Black Sea port of Varna. They're headed for the Vaziani training area outside of Tbilisi for use in the Noble Partner Joint U.S.-Georgia military drills, which will run from the 11th to the 25th of May. About 600 U.S. And Georgian soldiers will participate in the exercises. On the 6th of May, the National Bank increased its key policy rate by 50 basis points to 5%, and then projected that there will be a gradual increase in the rate to 5.5% by the end of the year. The Monetary Policy Committee also said that the depreciation of the lari prompted an increase of the inflation expectations, so it's increasing the monetary policy rate. As of the 7th of May, one lari is $2.3214. A Japanese delegation visited Georgia last week. They said that Georgia and Japan are working to simplify visa procedures. In the meantime, Japan will lift its visa regime for Georgian citizens who hold diplomatic and official passports so that they'll be able to stay in Japan for 90 days without a visa. Which, again, what is this thing of lifting visas for diplomatic passports? Who cares? Anyway, as an update on last week's story, we reported that Chile and China are lifting visas for holders of official and diplomatic passports. This does not apply to regular Georgian citizens. They still need a visa to go to Chile and have to apply via the Chilean embassy in Ankara, and it's still as big a pain as it ever was before. Of course, 2 years ago, there was visa-free travel. An official passport is issued to people who work in the Central Elections Commission, members of parliament, judges of the Constitutional Supreme Court, the public defender and prosecutor general. Diplomatic passports are for a few bigwigs in the foreign affairs ministry. So if you're not one of those people and you're Georgian, you don't share in this. I guess they're just issuing press releases saying that they've done that and that that matters. Prime Minister Kharibashvili promised that reform of the interior ministry will begin as soon as the new government has been confirmed. The Ministry of Internal Affairs in its current form was created under Mishra, when counterintelligence was joined with the rest of law enforcement into one big powerful unit. When the Georgian Dream Coalition came to power in 2012, they promised to break the MIA up into smaller divisions. Deputy Interior Minister Levon Izoria said the new model will split State Security Service from the Interior Ministry and make it subordinate to Parliament. This split is quite interesting because they were split under Shevardnadze, and the State Security Minister was a KGB agent, which supposedly when Mishra first met Putin a few months after he became president, and the story was Mishra was swimming and ended up keeping Putin waiting, which is not such a good thing, and is now Putin's favorite thing to do to everybody else, like to the U.S. Secretary of State most recently for 3 hours, supposedly. Anyway, Mishra kept him waiting. And Putin said the one thing he wanted was to keep this guy in place because the Georgian State Security Minister was, you know, playing both sides. Mishra went back and immediately fired him and brought the two things together at some point under Vano Medavashvili, although that was later because Irakli Okoroshvili was running it then. Anyway, so this will be going back to the way it was under Shevardnadze, although it's not necessarily a bad thing because it is a super powerful ministry. Lawmakers from the Parliamentary Committee on European Integration and Foreign Affairs from Moldova, Georgia, and Ukraine have agreed to launch an interparliamentary initiative in order to coordinate policies on issues ranging from EU integration to trade and security. They adopted a joint declaration on the 5th of May following a two-day forum in Tbilisi. Workers at the port of Poti went on strike demanding a 14% pay increase. The workers gave their bosses 10 days to comply with their demands and threatened to completely paralyze the functioning of the port, where boats are moored, operators in the registration department and fleet employees. The port administration say the strike is illegal because workers didn't announce it in advance. According to Geostat, annual inflation stood at 2.5% in April after it was 2.6% in March. On a monthly basis, inflation was at 0.3% in April. Increasing prices were mostly in healthcare, alcohol, cigarettes. Prices for outpatient care rose 5.6% year-on-year in April, and for inpatient services by 4.6%. There was an 8.9% increase on prices on medical products and equipment. On the 5th of May, a seriously ill child from the Gali district of Abkhazia died after being denied entry into Georgia proper by Russian border guards. A 13-year-old and his family were seeking medical treatment. The boy had a bowel problem that became critical a day earlier. According to news site Opsni.ge, the border guards at the Unguri Bridge were demanding special documents from the Abkhaz FSB or a 500 lari bribe in order to pass the border. They didn't have the money, went back to the village to get the documents, but again weren't allowed to pass, so they tried to cross at a bypass road by the village of Khurcha. The boy died along the way. Interesting that that was reported by Opsni Press. Famous Georgian film director Rezo Chkheidze died in Tbilisi at the age of 88. Chkheidze rose to fame for his 1964 black-and-white war drama Father of a Soldier, about an elderly farmer who tries to find his son, a tank crew member, through the battlefields of the Eastern Front all the way to Berlin. The most critically acclaimed among his works was Magdana's Lurja, or Magdana's Donkey, a collaboration with Georgian director Tengiz Zabuladze, won the Best Fiction Short Award at the 1956 Cannes Film Festival. On the 1st of May, there were demonstrations in support of International Workers' Day, organized separately by youth groups and trade unions. Students demonstrated in the mining town of Chiatura against the company American Alloys, which owns the mines, protesting the ecological damage to the area, but also low salaries and low safety standards. According to trade unions, 41 workers were killed at the workplace and 61 were injured in 2014, mainly in Chiatura. One of the protesters' main demands was to bring back the technical labor inspection, which was closed in 2006. Labor inspection would supervise and monitor dangerous work conditions and enforce safety standards. The U.S. government is offering rewards totaling $20 million for information on four leaders of the Islamic State. BBC reports among the four is Tarkan Batirashvili with a prize of $5 million. They join the list of suspects sought under the Rewards for Justice program. Move comes after two gunmen opened fire on a Mohammed drawing cartoon contest in Texas this week. Georgia opened honorary consulate in Jerusalem. The Israeli foreign minister attended the opening ceremony on the 3rd of May. As a note, there's already a Georgian embassy in Israel located in Tel Aviv with all the other embassies. Georgia's getting a $5 million grant from the Swiss Agency for Development in cooperation with the support of the World Bank to improve efficiency of targeted municipal services and infrastructure. The project's implementation will be for 2 years. According to stats from the National Wine Agency, more than 500,000 bottles of wine was exported in April 2015 compared to March 2015. Georgia exported 2 million. In April 2015, Georgia exported 2,878,500 bottles of wine, which is about 700,000 more than March. Still, in the first 4 months of 2015, Georgian wine exports dropped 58% as compared to the same period due to a reduction of imports from Russia and Ukraine. Police detained 8 people on the 5th of May for match fixing. The detainees included president of the football club, Stu Tbilisi, one former football player, representative of the betting firm IBTS Bet, players of the football club Kharagauli, Cherimela and two others. According to the investigation, they agreed with several terms the National Football Championship with several teams in the National Football Championship to rig matches, paying between 10,000 and 20,000 lari for the advanced deals. They then placed bets on online betting websites after fixing the matches and then split the profits from the winnings. EBRD has new 45 million euro programs to support women entrepreneurs in Eastern European countries, including Georgia. The program Women in Business will involve the EBRD working with local banks to provide loans aimed at businesses run by women. On that note, Tbilisi is hosting the EBRD's annual meeting and business forum from the 13th to the 15th of May. This is the first time it's being held in the Caucasus, according to Prime Minister Kharabashvili. Georgia has spent more than 17 million lari on preparatory works to host the meeting, of which 14 million lari worth of movable and immovable property will remain in the state. And Tbilisi will also host the Open Government Partnership Europe Regional Conference on the 3rd and 4th of June. Fuel prices went up by 5 tetri in Georgia on the 7th of May at some oil companies. They went up at Gulf, Visoil, Rompetrol, and Frego, and so far are unchanged at Lukoil and Sokar stations. Russian newspaper Kommersant reports that Georgia is importing sheep from Russia's Astrakhan region, and 1,000 sheep are set to arrive in Georgia soon. It was the Georgian side's initiative to import the sheep, allegedly because of devaluation of the ruble. It's cheaper now than buying local sheep. Last week, we reported that members of Moldova's National Bank visited Georgia's National Bank to learn about cash management system. This week, representatives of the Austrian National Bank visited Georgia to do the same. Minister of Finance Nodar Khaduri attended the annual meeting of the Board of Governors of the Asian Development Bank in Baku. He also met with representatives of several investment companies. Kommersant reports that the head of the Tbilisi Development Fund, Temur Khomeriki, was fired. The fund was created in 2010 to work mainly on rehabilitation and reconstructing old parts of the city. Before becoming the head of the fund in 2014, Khomeriki worked in the Ministry of Regional Development. The Armenian office of Carrefour admitted that they sell low-quality sugar in Georgia while answering questions of the state anti-monopoly service. On the 3rd of May, there was the Wings of Life World Run in Kakheti. 5,000 people registered to run. Participants paid an entry fee of 20 lari, with all the funds being donated to Wings for Life Foundation that funds research into finding cures for spinal cord injury. Instead of traditional finishing line, competitors run until the catcher car catches up with them. A new coffee enterprise will open soon in Tbilisi. It will sell Georgian roasted coffee. Local coffee importer BB Company is behind the initiative to open the coffee factory with support of Italian partners. It's being created within the government program Produce in Georgia, and the state will cover 10% of the loan to establish the enterprise. They will first open in Dihomi at the Agricultural University. Camera traps recently spotted rare glimpses of lynx, bear, Caucasian deer, wolf, and badger in Borjomi Kharagouli National Park. Camera traps were installed within the Rare and Endangered Species Monitoring System project in Georgia's protected areas. Two young Georgian pianists competed in the Piano Passion Contest held in Astana, Kazakhstan. 12-year-old Ilya Lomtadze and 14-year-old Sandro Niberidze jointly won the first prize among 10 musicians competing in the intermediate group. The winners share a prize of $60,000. Kutaisi created Jazz Wall and invited local artists to paint a tribute of portraits of jazz artists on Lomonosovy Street. Unfriended, a supernatural horror film by Russian-based Georgian director Levon Gabriadze, has been successful at the U.S. box office in the past week. As of the 1st of May, Unfriended grossed $27 million worldwide. It had a budget of $1 million. Unfriended shows six high school friends who convene for a Skype chat. The Skype call is then interrupted by someone who turns out to be a friend of the six who killed herself after being bullied online and then makes them commit suicide online too. Italian TV channel Italia Uno and Rai are scheduled to release a documentary featuring the Gudauri Ski Resort. A group of freestyle skiers representing ski manufacturer company Nordica and journalists from Bapu film came to Georgia a month ago by invitation of the Georgian National Tourist Administration. The sign on the George W. Bush Street on the way to the Tbilisi airport was vandalized. Bush's face was spray painted over. Yay! NGOs Save the Children has a motherhood index listing the best countries to be mother. The search was conducted in 179 countries. Georgia ranked 86th. Russia was ranked 56th. Turkey 65th. Ukraine 69th. But Georgia did a bit better than the other South Caucasian countries. Azerbaijan was 90th. Armenia 103rd. Research took into account mother's health, education, income, and status. Northern European countries topped the list. Parliamentary news. On the 1st of May, Parliament passed the first and second readings of a package of legislative amendments aimed at easing visa migration regulations, which, as you may remember, had been a real mess. The proposed bill was drafted by the Ministry of Economy. Among the changes is increasing the visa-free stay in Georgia for citizens of some countries to 360 days, up from the current 90 days. According to the bill, it will be up to the government to adopt a decree listing the countries. The government must compile a list within 30 days after the legislative amendments go into force. This will most likely include EU member states, the U.S., and other countries. As a reminder, visa regulations were tightened from the 1st of September 2014. Georgia scrapped the visa waiver for more than a dozen countries. It retained visa-free rules with more than 100, but citizens of those countries can only stay in Georgia without a visa for a maximum of 90 days in any 180-day period, instead of 360 days as it was before. UNM faction in Parliament had an alternative draft which defined the list of countries eligible for the 360 visa-free by law instead of by government decree. They listed all EU member states and 48 other countries. The parliamentary majority voted down the proposal. In the changes, the bill envisages granting residence permits or one-year visas to foreign nationals who already own or will buy real estate except agricultural land worth at least $35,000. This category of residence permit or visa will be canceled as soon as the foreigner sells or relinquishes the property. The bill also envisages simplifying procedures for applying and obtaining a visa, such as cutting the visa fee from the current 100 lari down to 40 lari for foreigners who are already in Georgia and apply at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for an extension. The visa fee for applications filed through online or evisa.gov.ge will be reduced from the current $50 to $20. Bill lists circumstances in which the authorities will not be obliged to justify their decision for not granting a visa, mainly if the person is considered a threat to state security. The bill has to be passed by Parliament with a third reading and then signed into law by the President before it goes into force. The meme this week is a photoshopped image of the new Defense Minister, Tiniko Khidashele, as an army unit commander making recruit Dato Usupashvili, the parliamentary speaker, do push-ups. As a reminder, Khidashele and Usupashvili are married. So here's the wife come defense minister pushing around her husband. It's a pretty funny picture, I gotta admit. Really great investigative report by journalist Nino Bakradze for the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, who investigated the cost of maintaining the two parliament buildings in Tbilisi and Kutaisi. When parliament moved to Kutaisi in 2012, the Rustaveli location was emptied, gutted, and damaged, intentionally destroyed, but there's no clear answer for who ordered it. BBC reports on religion and orthodoxy in Georgia, which is putting the country at odds with Western values and turning schools into battlegrounds. There's also an audio component that goes into more detail on icons in classrooms. Eurasia has a piece on wine growers, Georgia and Moldova, and the issue of where to export. Democracy and Freedom Watch explores an old German town in Georgia and tells an interesting story of how Germans came to settle there. Quite interesting. Connected to silk. CRC considers Georgia's westward political orientation in light of the fact that support for the Euro-Atlantic path is noticeably weaker among the country's ethnic minority population. All this stuff was posted on the forum. This week's GEO capital number is 3,729,000. This is the population of Georgia, 3.7 million, according to preliminary results in the countrywide census carried out by Geostat in November 2014. It does not include the breakaway regions. This is a 14.7% decline compared to the last census, which was 2002, when the figure stood at 4.37 million. But included the territories, if I remember correctly. Final detailed results of the new census will only be available in April 2016. Also, according to the preliminary results, 1,118,000 people live in Tbilisi. 57.38% of the population live in urban areas and 42.6% in rural areas. At Oxford University on the 19th and 20th of June, there'll be a colloquium on late antiquity in medieval Georgia. There's a lecture on religion, art, literature for those who'd like to attend. Talk to Nikolos Alexidze at alexidze@gmail.com. London on the 25th of May, 6:30, the British Georgian Society is hosting a charity concert for the In the Aid of Dmitry Tsintsadze's Fund in Georgia, helping children fight leukemia. It will feature maestro Gianluca Marciano, directing baritone Gocha Abuladze, soprano Teona Dvali, and pianist Luca Okrostavridze. Please RSVP to satvistomouk@hotmail.com by 15th of May if you'd like to attend. In Tbilisi on the 10th of May at 8 p.m., environmental NGO Iere Pechit is presenting a public art project called Green Cover. It's in Sabertalo at the corner of Pekini and Vajapshavela Avenues. A reminder for those in Tbilisi that the wine festival is Saturday, the 9th of May. Sorry if you missed it, starting at 11 a.m. in Data Inna Park. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is txtb@txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post the form on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2012, Betty LaVette and Everything Is Broken.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads and broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping round in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use in joking. Look around you, everything is broken. Broken bottles and then broken plates, broken switches and them broken gates, broken dishes and them broken parts. The streets are filling up with all those broken hearts. Broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. We got broken voices singing broken songs. Take a deep breath. Do you feel like you're choking? That's cause the air's all fucked up and everything is broken.
Peter and tell Gamma Jumba. Fillmore Street, this is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from sunny San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 14th of May. Really, it's the 14th of May. On this day, in 1607, Jamestown, Virginia was settled as an English colony. In 1787, in Philadelphia, delegates convened Constitutional Convention to write a new constitution for the United States of America. George Washington presides. 1796, Edward Jenner tests his smallpox vaccine in Gloucestershire. 1804, Lewis and Clark depart from St. Louis. 1948, the State of Israel is proclaimed. 1955, the Warsaw Pact is formed in a signing ceremony in Krakow. Just kidding, it was in Warsaw. 1970, the Red Army faction is established in West Germany. Birthdays today are Bobby Darin, George Lucas, David Byrne, and Mark Zuckerberg. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Swieka. My Georgian journal in Fides Politra. Sorry about that. As you can see, I have a cold. Well, you can't see, but okay, you got the idea. The Georgian Journal and Kavitis Politra column this week is about U.S. elections and Republican candidates. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Following up on, and I say this with air quotes, last week's story on changes in the cabinet, Parliament confirmed the reshuffled government led by Prime Minister Khatabashvili on the 9th of May at around 2 a.m. Lawmakers from the UNM and the Free Democrats voted against. The session started on Friday, the 8th of May, and lasted 13 hours. The session was tense. All the ministers and cabinet were present and had to answer questions about the economy. Khatabashvili said most of the responsibility for the devaluation of the national currency lies, of course, on the National Bank, adding that the government has an anti-crisis plan but didn't elaborate. As I've discussed many times before, that's not true. The currency problem is not because of the National Bank, and there's nothing they could have done about it. If they tried to support it, all they would have done was gotten rid of Georgia's foreign, not-so-gigantic foreign currency reserves, and it still wouldn't work. Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili said that the people's living conditions have worsened and that he is very sorry about that. Finance Minister Noda Khaduri attempted to elude implications that there were problems with the lari, saying budget expenses never put pressure on the lari. External shocks did, which is mostly right. And the UNM is also wrong, that it's not completely the fault of this government, although I'd say 20% of it is for lowering investment from the Arab world related to visas. But some of it has to do with business climate and that sort of thing. Which is this government's fault, and that according to the Constitution, it is not the finance ministry that is responsible for monetary, and he then pointed to the National Bank representative. Reshuffled cabinet has four new members, the ministers of defense, infrastructure, sport, and environment. Before the confidence vote on the parliament, they revoked members of parliament credentials for Tini Kohidashvili and Gigla Agulashvili because they took cabinet posts. NDI, my former employer, the National Democratic Institute, conducted a public opinion poll in Georgia. The survey's field work was done by CRC from the 27th of March to the 19th of April. It was conducted through nationwide face-to-face interviews with 4,360 respondents as a margin of error of 2.3%. According to results, 27% of likely voters said they did not know which political party they would vote for if parliamentary elections were held tomorrow. 6% said they would not vote for any of the parties. 12% refused to answer. The Georgian Dream ruling coalition got 24%, followed by the parliamentary opposition parties, UNM and Free Democrats, with 16 and 5, respectively. The Alliance of Patriots of Georgia, an extremely dangerous and creepy group, got 4%. Labor Party, 3%. Respondents were asked, which party is closest to you? 35% of respondents said no party. This is up in comparison to similar poll conducted in NDI in August 2014, when it was 30%. Notably, 21% of respondents named Georgian Dream Coalition as the party closest to them, which is down from 42% in August 2014. UNM got 13% and has remained more or less steady at that. It's gone up a little bit, but not much. The same as in August 2014. According to Laura Thornton, NDI's director in Georgia, the electoral playing field is wide open and no party is strongly ahead. In Georgia, Georgians are undecided about their political support, presenting an opportunity for all parties to spend the next year and a half leading up to the parliamentary elections, earning citizens backing through responsive platforms and policies. Patriarch Ilya II has the highest approval rating with 87%, but is no longer in the 90s. Among politicians, President Georgi Margvelashvili leads with 52% approval rating, followed by the leader of the opposition, Free Democrats, Irakli Alasani, with 51%. Parliament Speaker Dato Usupashvili, 45%. UNM Parliamentary Minority Group Leader Dato Bakradze, 44%. And Prime Minister Garibashvili with 40%. 59% of respondents believe that Bidzina Ivanishvili continues to be the decision maker in the actions of the government. The public opinion survey also shows a decline in the performance ratings of some institutions. The police performance has dropped significantly, down to 33% from more than 60% in 2010. Only 10% of respondents rate favorably the work of parliament. Among the ministries, the healthcare ministry has the highest performance rating with 43%, followed by the Ministry of Justice, 26%. Ministry of Finance is perceived as having the poorest performance at 6%, which is maybe why Khaduri is so, I don't know, annoyed with people blaming the lottery on him, which is truly not fair. 65% of the respondents said that they approve the
security
government
border management,
goal to join
migration,
NATO.
Mobility, and asylum, fighting against corruption and organized crime, and the protection of human rights, minorities, and anti-discrimination. In October 2014, the European Commission announced the Georgia domestic first phase requirements of its Visa Liberalization Action Plan, paving the way for the second phase. The first phase was about the overall policy and legal framework and adopting relevant legislation, and the second phase involved putting into practice the effective and sustainable implementation.
11%
of these measures.
Of respondents described their
on the 8th of May, the European Commission released a third report on Georgia's implementation of WAP. It said that although there is progress, Georgia still needs to address the remaining recommendations. In the field
had real
of anti-corruption, the report calls on Georgia to pursue
and
reform in civil service by adopting a civil service law in line with international practice to depoliticize the civil service and to further strengthen the protection of whistleblowers. The Interior Ministry has introduced changes to border crossing procedures. Previously, everyone entering and exiting the country had their photograph taken. Now it will only be taken in specific circumstances. They explain the changes necessary according to WAP to bring the country's personal data protection standards closer to
the line.
So
I would encourage you to take a look at it.
I'm just going to go
EBRD
through this
is holding
because
its annual meeting
because there's a lot of conversation about whether or not this
government
is just
delegates
France and Germany
countries are attending
sort of, 2,000
people
at
EBRD,
not letting Georgia in
and
or whether
the Georgia
it's technical.
Establishing
I tend to feel that it's a little bit more technical.
EBRD
I think
President
there's a lot of work
Suma
that has not been done,
Barty,
but I may be wrong.
Prime Minister Gadafi signed a memorandum.
The report's dealing with benchmarks related to document security, integrated border management, fighting organized crime, protection of personal data, freedom of movement, issued insurance of travel and identity documents, the
international
legal cooperation, criminal matters as achieved.
EBRD is financing
benchmarks in migration management, money laundering, cooperation
also
between various law enforcement agencies and citizens' rights have been deemed by the report as
agreement on extending
almost
the sovereign
achieved.
Loan of 12 million euros to Georgia.
Benchmarks in asylum,
introduce
human trafficking,
solid waste
anti-corruption, and drugs
EBRD
are deemed as
complemented by a grant
partially
money,
achieved.
3 million euros.
So as far as I know, they cannot offer that in Riga.
President of EBRD,
but we'll see.
Commend to the head of the National Bank, Georgi
President
Georgi
Margvelashvili paid a working
that
visit to Brussels on the 11th of May. He met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, and then on the 12th of May, he met with President of the European Council Donald Tusk. He
National
also
Bank
met with EU Commissioner
rate,
for Neighborhood Policy
which,
and Larger Negotiations
of May,
and participated in a conference about Eastern Partnership held in the European Parliament.
On
the 11th of May, joint U.S.-Georgian military exercises, Noble Partner, started at the Vaziani Training Area outside of Tbilisi. They will last 2 weeks. The exercises aim at enhancing U.S. and Georgian NATO response force interoperability.
In a joint letter, the President,
14 Bradley infantry fighting vehicles and several wheeled support vehicles were shipped by the U.S. Army from Bulgaria to
Georgia
for the exercises.
Eastern Partners.
Foreign Minister Tomiko Benatashvili participated in a NATO
Riga,
ministerial in Antalya, Turkey on the 13th and 14th of May. She attended a meeting with the Enhanced Opportunities Partners Program dedicated to the situation in the Near East. In the framework of the ministerial, Benatashvili will hold bilateral meetings with NATO member states, foreign ministers, and NATO military officials. Also this week, Prime Minister Khadabashvili hosted the Director for European Affairs of the U.S. National Security Council and Special Assistant to the U.S. President, Charles Kupchan.
On the 13th of May, Tamar Kodzaya, majoritarian member of parliament from Tbilisi's Nadzala Debi single mandate constituency, moved from the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia parliamentary faction to the Republican Party's faction. She cited being closer to the Republican Party's liberal values as the reason behind her decision. As a reminder, two Republican lawmakers, Tiniko Khidashele and Gigla Agulashvili, were appointed on the government post last week, so the number of Republicans in Parliament decreased from 9 to 7. Agulashvili's seat will be automatically replaced by another Republican Party member from the Georgian Dreams coalition list, but Khidashele's vacant majoritarian seat in Parliament will be filled through a by-election in the Sagaregio single-mandate constituency in October. Kordzaya's decision to join the Republican faction means they keep 9 seats in Parliament after the new one to replace Agulashvili is confirmed. If I remember, I'm not sure if this is right, but I think it takes 8 to have a faction. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 14th of May, new Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashele said she will sign the air defense deal with France very soon. As a reminder, her predecessor Iraklis Alassania claims the reason he was dismissed in November 2014 was because he wanted to go ahead with a deal, whereas a prime minister was trying to interrupt him from signing it. Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani said that her ministry is preparing a draft law changing the procedure for appointing the chief prosecutor of the prosecutor's office. Currently, it's the prime minister that can appoint or dismiss the prosecutor, but according to the desired changes, Parliament will. This is a very, very important step. Originally, the justice ministry had a lot of control, of course, under Adeshvili, over the prosecutor's office, which he ran. Then that was taken away and it became independent. Tsiloukiani lost that power. Now, because it's just much better to have prosecutors appointed by Parliament, that will be the case. And what the Justice Ministry's oversight will be of the prosecutors will be important, but unclear. Government plans to decouple security and intelligence agencies from the Interior Ministry. A separate state security service will be set up according to a proposal elaborated by Interior Minister Vakhtang Gomalauri at a joint hearing of several parliamentary committees on the 7th of May. The candidate for the head of the State Security Service will be nominated by the Prime Minister. The candidate will require the support of more than half of lawmakers to be appointed for a 6-year term. They cannot take a second term. Counterintelligence and anti-terrorism centers and the Operative Technical Department in charge of surveillance operations will be a part of the State Security Agency, according to Gomalauri. As a reminder, last week, Prime Minister Ghadabashvili said that a bill on interior ministry reform is already drafted and will be sent to Parliament for consideration after the reshuffled cabinet wins the confidence vote. This also is quite important because it has to do with the tap they've attached to all of the internet providers and mobile phone stuff that allows them to listen to anything and receive any of the data that moves in the country. The Agriculture Minister of China, Han Cheng Fu, was on an official visit to Tbilisi this week. He met with Georgian counterpart Otar Danelia, Prime Minister Khadabashvili, and Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili on the 11th of May. Kvitikashvili earlier visited China in March. The ministers of agriculture signed a joint action plan for cooperation. Within the Chinese agriculture minister's visit, China donated modern irrigation equipment worth more than $10.7 million to Georgia. Includes a total of 245 pieces of equipment, excavators, trucks, bulldozers, concrete mixers, off-road vehicles, tractors, and more. Prime Minister Ghadabashvili made a thank you speech to put Georgian-China relations in the context of the New Silk Road Project. As a note, China is the fifth largest export market for Georgian wine. More than 494,000 bottles of Georgian wine are exported to China in the first 4 months of 2015, which is an 87% increase over the same period last year, according to the National Wine Agency. The European Court for Human Rights has ruled that the police failed to provide adequate protection to a group of pro-tolerance activists, me among them, by the way, when they were attacked on the International Day Against Homophobia on the 7th of May, 2012. The application, I was not a part of the case, but was at the manifestation. It was not a demonstration. The application was filed by LGBT rights group Identoba and a dozen individuals during the 2012 march. A small group of activists carrying rainbow flags were walking from Philharmonia down to Rustavelli, where they were blocked by Orthodox groups. Along with violating the right to freedom of assembly, the ECHR also ruled in their judgment that there was a violation of Article 3, the prohibition of inhuman or degrading treatment taken in conjunction with Article 14, Prohibition of Discrimination of the European Convention on Human Rights. The court considered that the authorities knew or ought to have known that the risks surrounding the demonstration and that they were therefore under the obligation to provide adequate protection. The ECHR also said that the authorities failed to investigate the incident thoroughly. Court ruled Georgia had to pay to 9 of the individual applicants, ranging between 2,000 and 4,000 euros each, and 15,000 euros to Edentoba. Meanwhile, on the 12th of May, activists from the Women's Initiative Supporting Group had a campaign in preparation for the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. In Tbilisi, they held rainbow flags and signs that read, "The street is taken. There is no place for homophobia or transphobia here." On the 13th of May, TBC Bank won 2 awards from the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. There's also a Europe Banking Award 2014 for the Eastern Europe and CIS region. Both award ceremonies took place in Tbilisi. The Europe Banking Award ceremony was in the Radisson Blue Iveria Hotel, where TBC Bank received the award for Best Bank in Georgia for the 4th consecutive year. At the Trade Facilitation Program, launched in 1999, which promotes foreign trade to, from, and among EBRD recipient countries, at the event in Tbilisi Parliament, TBC CEO Vakhtan Butsrishvili received an award for the most active issuing bank in Georgia. TBC won an award of Best Deal 2014 for supporting the Gudauri and Bakuriani artificial snowmaking project. On that note, for the next ski season, Bakuriani and Gudauri will have new trails and upgraded infrastructure, mainly a new ski lift in Gudauri and new hotel rooms in Bakuriani, according to the Minister of Economy. The additions are being made. Partner TBC Group, Georgia's winter resorts, will host Europe and Asia Winter Resort Conference 2017. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 13th of May, Tbilisi City Court ruled that RMG Gold must allow for an inspection of the Sakhtarysi mine before it can reach decisions on a court case. The lawsuit was filed with Kakha Kozhoridze and Georgi Gogochuri against the Culture Ministry and the National Cultural Heritage Protection Agency and RMG Gold, and asked to abolish administrative protocols issued on the 12th December 2014, which grant RMG Gold the right to conduct mining blasts in Sakhtarysi. At the end of April, the head of the National Maintenance Center, Bubaku Dava, was fired after making a public statement about low salaries. According to the Minister of Education, they did an audit and are saying that Kudava was rewarding his favorite employees with higher bonuses. Kudava denies it and says the Minister of Education, Tamar Sanakidze, fired him for opposing and speaking out. Another part of the dispute is over the Lailashi Hebrew Bible, which dates back to the 10th or 11th century. It's found in a synagogue in Lailishi village in Lechhumi, early 1940s, and is kept at the National Manuscript Center, the new Jewish History Museum in Old Tbilisi that opened in late 2014 wants it, but the Manuscript Center doesn't want to give it up. Reportedly, Kudava and his staff were protesting over moving the Bible. The new Jewish Museum is funded by BI's Kartu Group. By the way, Buba Kudava is a brother of Mamuka Kudava, former ambassador to France and generally close to the UNM. And if we could say a few words of thanks to the staff of the National Manuscript Center, who during wars and Shevardnadze's time worked unusually seriously with no salaries protecting all of this stuff and had lots and lots of opportunities to sell them off that were both lucrative and frequent. So a government order to hand over the Lailishi Bible is somehow not so nice, particularly when it sort of seems to have been BI's order. I mean, not to say that it shouldn't be in the museum, but it was just kind of like, okay, hand it over now. And, you know, they have their own collection and are allegedly an independent entity, although not so independent as we can see now. But the manuscripts place has really done incredible work with a lot of amazing manuscripts that Georgia has. The 9th of May, Georgia and other former Soviet countries celebrated the 70th anniversary of victory in the Second World War. Tbilisi people congregated in Vakhe Park and laid flowers at the memorial to the unknown soldier, Prime Minister Kharabashvili, the parliamentary speaker, who, by the way, said that it was a Georgian that won the Second World War, meaning Stalin, which is a little weird. Members of the cabinet, Ilya II, attended Soviet Times Day, was celebrated with a big military parade. The president later hosted war veterans in his palace and granted them the award of honor. A few days before the 9th of May, a group of Russian bikers arrived in Georgia wearing St. George's ribbons, which some see as a symbol of Russian imperialism. Georgian bikers announced that they would come to Vake Park on the 9th of May and wouldn't let the Russian bikers in or anyone wearing the St. George ribbon. The park was filled with police. The Russian bikers did not come to Vake Park in the end. However, other people came wearing St. George's ribbons, and there were some scuffles. Seven people were detained for hooliganism and resisting police. Tbilisi City Court fined five of them 100 lari. Meanwhile, hundreds of mostly elderly people marched through Gori, Stalin's hometown, carrying photos of him in red Soviet flags and wearing St. George's ribbons. Some demanded that the local government allow them to put back the Stalin statue, which was taken down a few years ago. Stalin fans put up a bust of him in front of Gori City Hall. The local government said they would allow it for just one day. The group was also putting up a Stalin bust and park in the village of Akura near Tel Aviv, where it's been erected and taken down a number of times. On the 8th of May, the House of Representatives of Cyprus ratified the association agreement between Georgia and the EU, and the National Assembly of Slovenia ratified it on the 13th of May. On the 11th of May, Prime Minister Garibashvili appointed Gia Salakwadze as the new governor of Guria. The post has been vacant since December 2014, when the previous governor resigned. May 2011, Salakwadze was involved in an anti-government demonstration led by the former Speaker of Parliament, Nino Bourgenadze, that was violently dispersed overnight. Salakwadze was arrested a few days later, jailed for resisting police. He denied the charges as politically motivated. After the Georgian Dream Coalition came to power, Parliament included him on a list of political prisoners and was released as part of the broad amnesty in early 2013. In case people don't know, there should not be regional governors. They have no official capacity, at least from the Constitution, and are really, under Shevardnadze and Mishra, were the instruments of executive power. The locally elected representatives didn't really have a heck of a lot of power, and the governors would all sort of keep them aligned and shuffle them around and do whatever they wanted and hand out the goodies. What should happen, but is somewhat unlikely, although Tina Kohina-Shelley, two days before she was appointed defense minister, said to me that it was still on the table. But anyway, what is unlikely to happen is, as I've written about in Kvitis Politra, there should be regional multi-member party lists for parliament and then locally elected governors by region with some responsibilities. Three officials from the Ministry of Internal Affairs are accused of torturing young military recruits by the prosecutor's office. On the 6th of May, the Tbilisi Court of Appeals accepted evidence submitted by the prosecutor's office and gave the defendants, a platoon commander, a squad commander, and a squad sergeant of the Special Task Department, pretrial detention. According to the prosecutor's office, in July 2014, the three youth temporarily left their post, so their superiors punished them by beating them, threatening to kill them, and made them stand at attention in full gear for 24 hours. They could face a prison sentence from 9 to 15 years. Council of Europe has called on Russia to facilitate and grant Council of Europe bodies unrestricted access to Abkhazia and South Ossetia to monitor the human rights situation. Council of Europe adopted the document on the 12th of May. Only Russian representatives voted against it. On the 12th of May, Ukraine's breakaway region of the Donetsk People's Republic recognized Abkhazia and South Ossetia in a decree from their foreign ministry. As a note, South Ossetia recognized Donetsk and Luhansk entities in June 2014, while Luhansk recognized South Ossetia in return in January 2015. In Azerbaijan news, according to a report by the Washington Post, a lot of people are talking about, in 2013, Sokar secretly funded an all-expense-paid trip to Baku for 10 members of the U.S. Congress and 32 staff members. There was a conference where three former aides to President Obama appeared as speakers. Meanwhile, on the 12th of May, members of the EU Parliament called on Azerbaijan to release individuals widely seen as political prisoners ahead of the inaugural European Games in Baku in June. Totally horrendous that European Games are being held there. Georgia signed a cooperative agreement with Cyprus, Liechtenstein, and Iceland on avoiding double taxation, preventing the evasion of income and capital taxes. It's within the context of the EBRD annual meeting in Tbilisi. Georgia recently signed the same agreement on avoiding double taxation with Belarus in April. On the 10th of May, there was a fire in Kobuleti Hotel that tragically killed three children. May 13th, there was a fire in Kutaisi apartment that killed a 30-something-year-old man. The same day, there was a fire in Batumi Cafe from a gas leak with no injuries. The fatalities have raised questions about building safety standards. Enforcement of building safety standards was significantly weakened in 2009 during Mischa's presidency when the responsibility for conducting checks in schools and hotels was taken away from the economy ministries. Economy Minister Gheorghe Kvitikashvili now says that they are working to strengthen building safety standards. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze said that electricity prices could soon increase, but that the price of natural gas could drop. He said it's because of a special price Georgia gets on Azerbaijani gas. If power costs go up, they'll consider giving subsidies. Energy companies apply to the Energy Regulatory Commission asking to revise tariffs. The commission will make a final decision in September, so that's when we'll find out if electricity costs change. Ministry of Foreign Affairs denies reports in Abkhaz media that representatives of an unspecified German company visited and met with Abkhaz leaders. A deputy foreign minister called it aggravated advertising. Businessman Gheorghe Mikaberidze, founder of Heelbe, released 12,000 Gobi wrist devices that help users allegedly control their weight by measuring calorie intake. They're selling for about $300. They record what goes on in a user's mouth, analyzing water levels, changes in cells, deducing the amount of sugar in cells, and use a unique algorithm to determine the amount of energy in the food. It can also determine the amount of calories burned. Mikaberidze made the project on Indiegogo, and it's raised just over $1 million in a month. About 100 hectares of degraded forest from intensive cattle grazing will be restored in Ajada through the support of an EU-funded sustainable development initiative. The EU FLEG 2 program will give WWF caucuses and the Forestry Agency of Ajada funds for wooden poles, barbed wire, and forest restoration tools for fencing work. Domino's Pizza opened in Tbilisi, which is horrible, at the end of April. Domino's Pizza in Georgia is a joint venture between Turkven, Domino's master franchisee in Turkey, and Geo Pizza LLC. It's at 74 Meram Kostaba near the Technical University, which is really just awful. If you want good pizza, go to Reiner's in Vienna. The Sundance Institute has selected a Georgian film project, Dede, for the 2015 June Director and Screenwriters Labs. Dede is about Sfaneti law dictating the lives of widowed young women. Director Mariam Bakacho Khachvani and producer Vladimir Kacharava and screenwriter Irakli Solomonashvili will participate in the lab from the 20th to the 25th of June at Sundance Resort in Utah. The event is run annually to support and enhance upcoming independent film artists. A new pork production facility opened in the Bolnisi area. Ukrainian company ABD Georgia invested $6.5 million in the facility. They'll soon produce 30 types of sausages sold under the name Delicia. According to the latest Travel and Tourism Competitiveness Report released by the World Economic Forum, Georgia placed 71st out of 141 countries. Spain topped the list of the most tourist-friendly countries. Regionally, Turkey was found to be the most travel-friendly country at 44th. Calling into question their methodology, Russia was 45th. The 12th of May was an official holiday in Georgia for St. Andrew's Day. St. Andrew is believed to be the founder of the Georgian Orthodox Church. Parliamentary news on the 8th of May, Parliament approved with its third and final reading a package of legislative amendments easing visa and migration regulations, which were tightened 8 months ago. The changes were proposed by the Ministry of Economy. The bill will go into force after the President signs into law. As a recap on the changes, there is a provision making it possible to increase the visa-free stay in Georgia for citizens of some countries from the current 90 to 360 days. It will be up to the government to adopt a decree listing those countries eligible for the 360-day visa-free stay. The government has to compile the list within 30 days after the legislative amendments go into force. The list is likely to include EU member states, the U.S., and some other countries. The rules will also apply to foreign nationals who hold residence permits in those countries. In other changes, the bill envisages granting residence permits to one-year visas to foreign nationals who already own or will buy real estate worth at least $35,000, except for agricultural land. The residence permits or visa will be revoked as soon as the foreigner sells or otherwise relinquishes the property. The bill also simplifies procedures for applying and obtaining a Georgian visa. It envisages cutting the visa free from 100 lari down to 40 lari for foreign nationals who are already in Georgia and apply to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for a visa extension. The visa-free application is filed online at evisa.gov.ge will be reduced from the current $50 to $20. The bill also lists circumstances in which the relevant authorities will not be obliged to justify their decision not to grant a visa to a foreign national, mainly if the foreigners pose a threat to state security or if the presence of the foreigner is unacceptable because of external political reasons, in quotes, which is sort of hilarious. So what that means is the law says those reasons, so they don't actually have to tell the people that, because that's kind of embarrassing, ridiculous, considering the people that they said that they pose a threat to security. Anyway, this is an enormous retreat for the government. I think also it was Tetsu Lukiani in the Justice Ministry that oversaw a lot of that, as far as I know, and had said that it was not a mistake. I think that there was a lot of pushback from foreigners, thanks to the ambassadors that were involved in talking about how what a pain that was for so many of their nationals. I have a feeling that Kvitikashvili also was very much involved in saying the consequences of that for foreign investment, which were really quite substantial. I mean, the foreigners were very, very ticked off about it because it created a lot of bureaucracy that the government had no ability to implement, and it was just not fair to a lot of people. The meme this week is a video from an Imedi talk show where they showed a live birth of a dummy baby. It has over 36,000 views, and it's just a little hilarious, and you should see it. The Guardian looks at women's lives in post-Soviet countries by profiling different women. A Georgian woman is an IDP from Abkhazia who's now a city councilor in Zugdidi. Paul Rimpel for Culinary Backstreets takes multiple visits to Alani Restaurant, otherwise known as the Ossetian Place, right between Abanutubani and Meydani, right on the river, famous spot among foreigners. As mentioned last week, a great report by journalist Nino Bakradze for the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project on who destroyed the Tbilisi parliament. We couldn't really figure that out, but she really did a lot of work. And it's quite an interesting article about how it happened and how the national movement operated, especially in its waning twilight period. BBC reports on religion and orthodoxy in Georgia, which is putting the country at odds with Western values and turning schools into battlegrounds, talking about icons and classes, that sort of thing. TI Georgia's report on governors and their assets, quite interesting. And this week's CRC blog post presents the results of the 2013 Transparency International Survey. It shows the majority of Georgians report trying not to share critical opinions about the government while talking on the phone, while a quarter of Georgia's population believes the government listens to everyone. All these things to read will be posted on the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 31. That is the percent of respondents from NDI's poll who said that they approve of Georgia joining the Eurasia Union. According to an August 2014 survey, only 20% of respondents approved of the Eurasia Union. November 2013, it was 11%. Aminati Cinema is showing Avengers, Age of Ultron, 2D at 7:15 every day until the 17th of May. Tbilisi, there's a photo exhibition showcasing the everyday life of Caucasian women at the end of the 19th century. It's at the State Silk Museum until the 23rd of May. That's a really cool museum. If you've not been there, go there. In Tbilisi, there'll be an international classical guitar competition by Georgia's Author Studio. It's from the 19th to the 25th of October. Apply by the 1st of October. For more information, visit www.guitarcompetition.ge. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1990, this is D-Light and Groove is in the Heart. When we
Come on, y'all are crazy, man.